すれば。
The Lord Maharaj said,
One who is sufficiently intelligent,
should use the human form of body
from the very beginning of life.
In other words,
from the tender age of childhood.
To practice the activities of devotional service,
giving up all other engagements.
The human body
is most rarely achieved, and although temporary,
like other bodies,
it is meaningful.
Because in human life,
one can perform devotional service.
Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service
can give one complete perfection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40, Svaham apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb on the plea of curbing the increase of the population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among the 8,400,000 forms of life. Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As already stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavad Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. In all the schools, colleges, and universities, and at home, all children and youth should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, put them into practice in their lives, and thus become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavad Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra says, Harinama, 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 Devakevalam. Kalo nasyeva, 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 katir anyata. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. Translation again. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved. And although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. In this important verse and purport from Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada give the complete program for human life and the complete program for human society. Unfortunately, at the present moment, the majority of people are, as we saw in the drama, under the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance, with hardly a touch of the mode of goodness. In other words, people are living almost like animals. Dharmena hina pasubhi samana. That without dharma, or without following religious principles, a person is on the same level as an animal. So this has created a very serious situation. And Consequently, people are suffering terribly. They themselves are suffering, and they cause others to suffer. Within this verse, the phrase "durvalam manusam janma" means that the human form of life is very, very cheap, or is achieved with great difficulty. According to the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity, or Atma, is a spiritual particle which is distinct from matter. As long as the spiritual soul is present in the body, we say that the body is alive. And as soon as the Atma leaves the body, we say that the body is dead. Actually, the body is always dead because the body is just a machine. And the soul is the person who is operating the machine. Now, all of the bodies in the material world are temporary. And the human body is also, as it is said, as sure as death. For one who has taken birth, death is certain. So whatever body we have, we will die. But the human form of life is a special facility because in the human form of life one can realize oneself, one can realize one's eternal relationship with God, and one can get liberated from the cycle of birth and death. So this is a science. It is not sentiment or fanaticism, it is a science. And this science should be taught from the very beginning of life, helping people from the very beginning of life, and apply. When Srila Prabhupada spoke at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, he raised the question, what is the difference between a living body and a dead body? And nobody could give a proper answer. And he said, where is the technology to bring a dead body back to life? No one could answer. So even in the most hallowed institutions of higher education, there is ignorance. When Srila Prabhupada went to Russia and met Professor Kropotsky, who was highly educated and respected, still, the learned professor said, Swamiji, when the body dies, everything is finished. He had no idea that apart from the body is the jivatma. and that the jivatma is eternal. It has no beginning and no end. And that is our actual identity. And if we understand this fact, we will create a revolution in our own lives to begin with. Of course, we may sit in the hall and hear the instruction and even repeat the instruction that I'm not the body, I'm the soul within the body. But to what extent do we actually accept that principle in our lives? To what extent do we engage in activities that are in our real self-interest? Earlier, Prahlad Maharaj said, Natevidu Svartakatim Yudhishthi. That everyone is interested in his self-interest, which is natural. But we should know what our real self-interest is. And that will come if we know what our real self is. And our real self is not the body. In previous generations, means in the last century, many immigrants came to America and they worked very hard just to make a living, to establish themselves, to give their children a chance to be educated. And as time progressed, another generation was born, and still another generation, who had more facility. And these people did everything that they were told would make them happy. They got good material educations, good jobs, or perhaps they established their own enterprises to make good money, and got qualified spouse and had beautiful and intelligent children, went on fabulous holidays. They did everything that they were told would make them happy. But guess what? They didn't become happy. And this phenomenon gave rise to a whole new field of psychology to study happiness, what actually makes people happy, because everyone wants to be happy. And it was found that after a person, achieves basic necessities of life, adding more money or material possessions or facilities does not really make them more happy. So it's been a revelation. And of course this knowledge was known to Srila Prabhupada and of course to the sages of India. As Srila Prabhupada said, if you have, 100 rupees or 100,000 rupees or 100 million rupees, you could still only eat 2 chapatis. So you have all that money in the bank, but what good is it doing you or anyone? So Prahlad is saying that this human form of life, artha, is meaningful because in this human form of life one can engage in devotional service to Krishna, which actually satisfies the soul and brings us the happiness and peace that we are looking for. And if we don't utilize this human form of life for its proper purpose, we can again be degraded into lower species of life. We give the example that in high school, if you're doing college level work, you can be promoted to college. So in the material world, if you're engaged in the activities of the spiritual world, which is this, Bhagavad Dharma, Bhakti Yoga, you can be promoted to the spiritual world. But the converse is also true. That if in the human form of life you live like an animal, then in your next life you can take birth as an animal, or you will take birth as an animal. And that is a real possibility. When Srila Prabhupada first came to Bombay with his American and European disciples, one building contractor read in the newspaper that Srila Prabhupada had come, and somehow he got the address and he wanted to see who is this person and what has he done. So he came to our temple in a rented premises in just across from the sea. And eventually he met Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada asked him, what do you do in the morning when you get up? He said, he brushes his teeth, has a cup of tea, reads the newspaper, gets dressed, and goes to work. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is the very first meeting, very first meeting. Srila Prabhupada said, and what is the difference between you and a pig? And the man thought about it, and he said, that's true. What is the difference? There is no difference. But then he sort of, complained or shifted the responsibility. He said, but for me to have higher knowledge and to act in a better way, I need association of devotees. I know association of devotees, of saintly persons. Then Srila Prabhupada said, I will send devotees every, I think it was Sunday. You organize a Harinam Sankirtan, he's chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the streets. And after that, we feed prasad, a feast of sanctified vegetarian food to all the devotees. And then you will get association, which you need. And the building contractor, his name was Mr. Sethi, he did it. And every Sunday, the devotees would go early in the morning, and if you are announcing kirtan, there'd be a big feast. And Mr. Sethi became a very strong devotee. But people don't know. They don't know they're not the body. And they act like the body. It means as if they were the body, like animals. Srila Prabhupada has a disciple named Ambarish Das, named after the great saintly king described in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ambarish Das, his original name is Alfred Ford, and he was the great-grandson of Henry Ford. So naturally, in that life, or in that birth, he would have some body identification, maybe some false prestige of being the great-grandson of Henry. So, when Srila Prabhupada met him, he said, "So, I understand you're the great-grandson of Henry Ford." He said, "Yes, I am." And Srila Prabhupada said, "And where is Henry Ford now?" Now that was a very good question. First of all, it took Alfred Ford off the bodily platform. And it raised a very relevant question. Where is Henry Ford now? Is he an animal? Is he a human? Has he gone to heaven? Has he gone to hell? Where is Henry Ford now? So these are questions that any intelligent and thoughtful person should ask. And about his own self. Okay, who am I? You're not the body. You're the soul within the body. And you're eternal. So that means when the body is destroyed, the soul is not destroyed. So then what happens to the soul? So there is a chance that the soul can be degraded to a lower form of life, but if the person engages in Bhagavad Dharma and devotional service and becomes perfect, which is what he's meant to do, then he can attain his eternal life in loving service to Krishna. And there are nine processes. Balad Maharaj himself told his father, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Krishna, Smaranam. These first three are the most important. Shravanam, hearing. That's what we're all doing right now. You all are hearing. Shravanam. That is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga or Bhagavad Dharma. Hearing. And after you hear, the next is Kirtanam, which is chanting or repeating what you have heard. And of all types of chanting, the easiest and For most people, the most effective is chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And by that chanting, all misconceptions within the heart, all false identifications with the mind and body can be cleansed, and one can realize one's eternal actual identity as another servant of God or Krishna. So Mr. Sethi, he ended up building a house near the land in Juhu, Bombay, where Srila Prabhupada was building a temple. And he named his house Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the name of Krishna's spiritual abode and spiritual side, but the same Vrindavan descends or is manifest on earth. And that Vrindavan, home of Vrindavan, exists near Delhi, maybe 2.5 hours from Delhi, closer to Agra, maybe 45 minutes from Agra. And what makes Vrindavan Vrindavan is that Krishna is the center. Everyone in Vrindavan loves Krishna and is always engaged in hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, acting for the pleasure of Krishna. And wherever devotees engage in those activities, that is Vrindavan. And Mr. Sethi's house really was Vrindavan. And anyone's house can become Vrindavan by this method, which anyone can follow. And certainly the temple is meant to be Vrindavan. So we should realize how valuable this human form of life is and use it for the proper purpose. And we should also realize how, you could say, shaky, as it's mentioned, Adhruva, it's impermanent, it's temporary. But it's really, really fragile. Every day it seems I hear more tragic deaths of people, some very young, or relatively young. Just unexpected things happen. And one poet has said, Kamala Bela Jala Jivana Kalamana. In fact, that song by Govinda Das contains a similar message to this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he says that one should engage in these non-activities in the association of devotees. But he says very beautifully, Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Kalamala, that this human life, or any body in this material world, it is like a drop of water on a lotus flower, on the leaf of a lotus plant. And if there's even a slight disturbance, that drop of water can roll off of the leaf and shatter. So our lives are like that. It's a very tenuous existence. When we go to sleep at night, we tend to assume that when we wake up, everything will be the same. But sometimes it's not the same. Sometimes something unexpected happens. And what we took for granted, we don't have. Or some of what we took for granted, we don't have. So we should not take this human form of life for granted. We should not take the association of devotees for granted. We should not take the opportunity to engage in Bhagavad Dharma for granted. But we should use every moment that we have, because we don't know how much more time we do have. One of the devotees, this is a good example. His parents are devotees on the island of Mauritius. And this young man, now he's grown up, he was educated in the association of devotees. In a way, he seemed like to be lost in life because he just didn't know what to do with himself, and his parents didn't know what to do with him. So they sent him to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples named Ayendra Das engaged this young man in playing the mridanga drum in the 24-hour kirtan that they had there. And there's quite a story of how Ayendra Prabhu engaged him and smashed him. In fact, he smashed him and smashed him and smashed him until there was no more false ego left. Because you cannot really properly perform kirtan, you can't properly glorify God if you have false ego. And this young man, his name is Madhava, said that, at first he rebelled, his mind rebelled, his ego rebelled, but he stayed with it. And eventually, Ayendra Prabhu was able to pretty much smash his false ego into dust. And Madhava has become a really wonderful kirtanier. And he can sit and chant for hours, one tune for hours, and pretty much just a slow melody for hours. And so once another great kirtan leader, Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Swami, asked Madhava that you sit and chant for hours, the same tune, no frills, no fancy maneuvers, just sitting and chanting. So what is your consciousness while you're chanting? And Madhava replied that when I'm chanting, I think that each mantra that I sing could be my last. I sing as if it was the last mantra I look we were actually confronted with such a situation that you're going to die, you're going to leave your body, and you have one mantra left to chant, and your whole future, your whole next life, depends on your consciousness when you chant that last mantra. How would you chant that mantra? I mean, you would put everything into it. As you say, you would chant as if your life depended on it, because that's your life would depend on it. So that is his consciousness. And that should be our consciousness. And the fact is, we don't know if it will be our last mantra. One mantra will be our last mantra. So, we should really value the opportunity we have now and not misuse this human form of life, not misuse one moment that we can engage in bhakti yoga and make this life successful and help others also, like Prahlad. In another verse, he prays to Lord Vishnu that for myself, I have no anxiety, because wherever I am, I can chant your holy name and glories and merge into an ecstatic ocean of nectarian love. So for myself, I have no anxiety or meditation, but I do have one anxiety, and that is I'm concerned about all the, he says, vimuna, which Sri Prabhupada translates as fools and rascals. I'm concerned with them because they are making elaborate plans to be happy in the material world, and they have no sense of Krishna consciousness. And so I'm thinking how to bring them to the shelter of your lotus feet. Because I know that without coming to the shelter of your lotus feet, they cannot be happy. So that is our goal, to be happy, but it's also the goal of any decent person, what you speak of devotee, that others should also be happy. And this is the method, and therefore he's, Prahlad says, he's always thinking of how to deliver them. It's not easy. So he's thinking how to devise the ways and means by which they can be engaged in devotional service. And so there's so many programs. So one last thought that comes to mind is how we engage people. There is one verse by Prabhupada Saraswati that Sri Prabhupada often quoted as our method. Dante Nidaya Chinakam Pade Varni Pankya. He says, this is Prabhupada Saraswati, says, I take straw in my mouth. In Vedic culture, that was how a person would present himself in a very humble mood. He would take a piece of straw in his mouth. Nante Nidaya Chinakam Pade Varni Pankya. And he says, I take a straw in my mouth and I fall at your feet. And I say, hey, Sadhava, O noble person. You have all good qualities. You are intelligent, you are religious, you are charitable, you have all good qualities. And if you approach someone in that humble mood, appreciating their good qualities, or could maybe say flattering them, generally they will become very attentive. They'll think, oh, this person has recognized my true greatness. He's very special. He's recognized who I am. And then he'll say, well, yes, so what do you want? What do you want to say? Please tell me. And then Sakala Eva Vihaya Purat, that whatever nonsense you have learned, kick it out. And Gauranga Chandra Charame Kurutan Radha, just surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So that is our preaching method, Srila Prabhupada said. And he actually exemplified it. When Srila Prabhupada first came to Bombay, he was staying in Satsaria Bhavana on Marine Drive, which is it's right along the ocean. It's a very prestigious address. And this whole building belonged to the Satsaria family, a five-story building. And the ground floor was just a guest facility. So Prabhupada and the devotees stayed on the ground floor. And then there were maybe a couple of brothers, so each brother had his own floor, and then there was one floor, it had like a common kitchen and a temple room, and it was amazing. I mean, for us who just come from America, that culture was amazing. So after, maybe 2 weeks, Mr. Satsaria arranged a program on the terrace of the building, on the rooftop. It was very, you could say, glamorous, just facing the Arabian Sea and, nice breezes and, he set up nice lights and and all top people of Bombay, all of which care. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting on this, like a chair, Vyasasana. And these people, they were very pious and very aristocratic, but they had that disadvantage of being wealthy. And with that disadvantage comes, a certain pride that makes it hard to chant the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada, he quoted that verse, but he actually was speaking to them, from his heart, that I'm taking the straw in my teeth and falling down at your feet. Please chant Hare Krishna, begging them to chant Hare Krishna. And they did. They were so moved by him that some of them actually chanted, and that was like a big thing that this man continued here. So this is our method, and that humility is good for us, and it will help others become receptive to Krishna consciousness, so they can be happy. Ultimately, that's our only interest. Before Srila Prabhupada left India to come to America, he got, that's like 50, a little more than 50 years ago, He approached the Cindy Esteem Navigation Company for free passage to Mati Moraki. So one of her secretaries and started joking about that, "Swami, dear, you're 70 years old. Why do you want to go to America?" "I know why. You want to enjoy. You're like everyone else, you want to go to America." And she was like, "What have I had to enjoy at this stage?" But I see there's a whole generation of young people who are disappointed and frustrated, and I just want to make them happy. I just want to do something for them so they can be happy. That was Prabhupada's motive. That was Prahlad Maharaj's mood. And we're coming in that line. So we should chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna and be happy and help others be happy. Hare Krishna.